The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for listening. This is the Frank Sontag Show.
Will you pray this prayer with me before I pray with you? Lord Jesus, I do humble myself and I come to you for forgiveness. Lord, I have a problem. I have this root in me. I'm asking you to pluck it out. I'm asking you to forgive me and help me to forgive. And cover the sins of all those who have hurt me. Lord Jesus, I want to be free. I want to be free right now. So I cast this in your feet. I give it to you. Cleanse me. In Jesus' name, I receive healing of every hurt and every root to be plucked out. Now let me pray for you. Lord, I know you hear when we pray. I know you hear when we cry out to you in our need. And I pray, Lord, that you do that by your Spirit right now. Just move in and among us. He said, I'm among you. I am with you. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And Lord, we come fearlessly now. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We ask you, Lord, to help us to face this and say, I don't want it anymore. I don't want anything unlike Christ in me. I want to be free. I want the glory of Christ in my life. I want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I need a new baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I need this from you now, Jesus. We need to hear from you. Cleanse and sanctify. Change us, God, by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have come down. And you are breathing on this church, and you're breathing throughout the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, just raise a hand or both hands to the Lord and say, I believe. I believe, Lord, right from your heart. I believe you, Lord, for cleansing and healing. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing between. Hallelujah. Now, you can be free right now if you receive by faith the word of the Lord. You can be free.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Some Phil Collins and Another Day in Paradise. How can you not think of the parable of the Good Samaritan when you hear that? In fact, I'm going to read scripture in a moment. I just want to thank you for joining us. Some of you may have missed a previous hour. If you've not heard, I have announced that this is my last week on KKLA. And God is calling me into a new season. This is a celebration. I thank management here to allow me to do this. And I'll give a bunch of accolades as we move forward through the week. But today I'm really compelled to just want to not only thank you, but be intentional and be a good steward of time and to try to share some more audio clips that I think are important for you to hear. If you would like to call into the program, we have two lines open, 888-528-2557. You can also email me at franksontag@kkla.com. And if you are not on my mailing list, I think it's August 5th or 6th, the email address of the station will no longer be valid. So those of you that have emailed me over the years to the radio station's email, that's only good for so much longer. And if you're not on my mailing list, franksontag.com is the website. You know, when I first started here, it was very interesting because my radio career began on air in 1987. I want to say it was August 15th, 16th, something like that. I did two weekend shows. It was a thing called Harmonic Convergence Weekend. It was a big deal, at least in the circles that I ran. I was a New Age teacher, and the Harmonic Convergence was when all the planets lined up and everything was going to happen, world peace and whole lot of other things, and I sat in for the regular hosts. I actually went into my boss. I had been a screener of the talk programs for about a year and a half, and kind of got the bug and said, hey, what about me filling in for the on-air hosts? And the boss said, no, you have to join the union. It's a lot of money. And I'm like, I don't care. I'll join the union. And he said, no guarantees. And I'm like, no. So I joined the union, was on the air Harmonic Convergence Weekend. And I'll never forget what I thought it would be like versus actually being on the air. Not the same thing. And I want to be careful here to not make this about me. I would just say it's an interesting medium where you speak, thousands of people listen, and there's a lot of people making judgments about who they may or may not think you are. But for whatever reasons, I think God had a plan. I eventually took over the talk shows, and for 21 years, I did two programs. The late night Sunday night was the popular one. In fact, by the rating service, I kept it for a while. When I became a Christian, I got rid of a lot of stuff, but I kept it for a while. I was actually the number one listen talk program in all of radio for Sunday night at midnight. People wanted to hear about how special they were. I guess I was a New Age teacher. A lot of incredible blessings came out of that program. I met my wife, my incredible wife. I'll talk about later in the week at one of my lectures. And so I did that for 21 years. But here's the point of the story. I had every belief when I began this program that God prepared me to do this by doing that other program for 21 years. In November of 2012, when Frank was injured in his motorcycle crash and I got a call, I had been out of work for a few months and thought I was done with radio. And they asked me if I would fill in. I'm thinking, Christian radio? What is that? Because I did a secular program for 20 plus years. So I said, sure. My first broadcast was Thanksgiving. I played a lot of music, kind of like what I'm doing now. And my hope and prayer was that Frank would pull through and heal and be back on the air in another 10 years. Later this week, I'm going to honor Frank, by the way. But that wasn't the Lord's plan. He went home to the Lord December 17, 2012, and then I began this program 7 months later. And I had a little deja vu, because when I took over my original program from the New Age teacher, I would hear people say, well, you're not Michael. And I got that for at least a year. When I took over this program, you're not Frank. But the point being, praise God, no one would be like Frank Pastore. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. My identity in Frank Sontag was gone when I said yes to him on that December day, 2009. He's my identity. He's my king. He's my Lord. And so early on, I would get a lot of emails, people saying, you're not a pastor. You're not theologically sound. And I'm like, true. Okay, maybe true. But I love the Lord. He began a new work in me instantly. It was my heart was calibrated instantly. I remember driving home that day. I felt like screaming to everybody about who Jesus was. Trust me, I'm not a guy that really spent a lot of time in my life early on praising Jesus Christ. I'm not a pastor. I'm not going to exegete and teach you here, but I want to read God's word. It's Luke chapter 10. Start with verse 25. We just played Phil Collins' Another Day in Paradise. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And your neighbor is yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Now, we're living in some crazy times. My view, I think evil is full on manifest right now. Almost unrestrained, not completely unrestrained, but we're living in ever-changing times. I think for those of us that really love the Lord, we know part of what inherently is in us by the power of the Holy Spirit is to love people, to be compassionate, similar to the parable of the Good Samaritan, where we see people that are downtrodden or desperate. I'd like to suggest it's not even us. It's the Holy Spirit that says, love them, help them. Now, not everybody wants to be helped. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. I want to play an audio clip from a man that's dedicated his life. He has a recovery center in his church, and he has paid dearly for that. His church has been closed down. They won't let him help heal people in recovery and alcoholism and dependence. But he knows who he is in Christ, and he will continue on. His name is Pastor Ken Graves. We hear of deaths of despair, thousands of people really having a hard time during all of this. Addiction, substance abuse, suicide. We're masking our children, which, again, I want to almost clarify in a bit of a disclaimer, like I've got to somehow temper what I'm going to say. We're masking our children. It's child abuse. We may not even understand it or know it, but the things we're being told to do, especially if you love the Lord, aren't coming from a biblical worldview. And if you profess faith in Christ, you need to understand what the Bible tells you and how you're to live your life without any fear, without any compromise. And maybe I can impart that in the last few days of the program. I've tried to do that over a number of years. But if you read the Bible, if you really, as Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, spirit, mind, everything you have, you can only just naturally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, want to be compassionate, want to be loving, want to help people. We've had 15 months of hell, and I'll refrain from getting into my thoughts on what the government has been doing and keeps trying to do, but this is Pastor Ken Graves.
You, my friends, walk in faith. The just shall live by faith alone. Do not allow your fears to be fueled. Suffocate that fire. Don't allow it to be continually being fueled. Close the door. Let that fear fire go out. And conversely, fuel your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. I encourage you, friends, spend more time on facts. Spend more time reading truth and take in the truth of God's word. Feed that faith and let your faith grow. Let your faith dictate your course, not your fears. Do not give in to your fears. And above all else, do not be afraid of people. Do not be afraid of the opinions of your fellow mortals. They're going to hate. They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. And they will say of you that you don't care about people, even though you've spent your life demonstrating otherwise, even though you've spent your life living in sacrificial ministry in order that people could actually have their lives changed and set free. Decades of your life you could spend laboring with drug addicts and drunkards, holding them up, teaching them how to walk. Involve yourself with them every single day of your life, and they will still find a way to say, you haters, you endangering people you don't love, you're a wicked cult. Well, rejoice and be glad when they say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's what they do. So anyway, it's Friday. No study tomorrow evening, and I'll see you again live from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel on the Lord's Day. My friends, pray for our nation. Pray that truth prevails. Pray that good guys win. Pray that America remains the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is in danger of becoming something else. Grace and peace to all of you.
Pastor Ken Graves is senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Bangor, Maine. I honestly don't know the status of his church. I know that a number of months ago he sued the governor because they shut the church down because he was adamant about, he has a drug and alcohol recovery branch of the church which has hundreds of people. And they told him, you can hold regular church service for, I don't know, arbitrary number, 50, 100, 150. But he had scores of people in the recovery program and the governor said, no, you can't have them. And he said, well, then it's a no-brainer. I'm going to continue service. And I think they shut the church down. I think the governor shut the church down. Status now, I don't know. Maybe I'll follow up this week and find out. But Ken Graves is, man, there are pastors out there really leaning into things and didn't acquiesce. Do I say this? Yeah, I think I should. And I get in trouble. I'm not a pastor. I've never had a church. I don't profess to know how to run a church. Pastors are all different. Churches are all different. We've had, 15 months of this thing. It boggles my mind how many churches stayed closed for so long. And now, in recent weeks, there's this big excitement that they're finally opening up. Again, I'm not that pastor. I'm not that church. All I can tell you is there have been pastors from early on, I can name them on one hand, who understood we have a First Amendment right. Church is essential, supposedly, as government says, pot shops, abortion clinics, strip clubs. Christian, we've got to be discerning and understanding that we're not only being lied to, the spirit of deception is alive and well, and we're being bombarded by a media that is all about propaganda. Look, I haven't come from a communist country. I wasn't raised under totalitarianism. There are a lot of people that have, and they're trying to say, you Americans, I've seen this before. Wake up. And part of the struggle is we've enjoyed so many freedoms in our life, we may not understand because we've not suffered and gone through that hardship. But there are some pastors that have, and I cite Arthur Pulowski specifically. I saw him speak about 6 weeks ago. He's the man in Alberta, Canada. Y'all probably saw the video where he starts screaming, get out. Man was raised in Poland. Knows totalitarianism, and I saw him speak at God Speak, Pastor Rob's church, and he said, people have to wake up. It's here. You have to fight. We have to stop giving up our freedoms. Now, here's the last thing. I'll break and come back. You know, I've tried to impart that message recently for the last year and a half. Some people say you sound so angry. Some people say you sound so mean-spirited. Look, I'm just saying, we're giving up our liberties. We may not even see it. We may believe, the virus that literally 99% of the average population are going to survive. and yet lockdowns, and everybody's got to get the shot. Have you seen Israel lately? Have you seen what's going on in London? Highly vaccinated populations. The vaccines may not completely work like we're being told. Joe Biden said the other day, camera in front of him, that the unvaccinated are killing people. We shouldn't stand for this. And yet we're in it. We're up against it. Tech companies, social media monopolization. The United States of America, they're shutting down free speech. Goodness, 2 years ago, if I would have thought I'd say that, I'd think, man, what have you been smoking and drinking? Which I don't do either one. But that's what's going on. You either agree with the government, or not only are you shut down, for some, you pay the price. We have a guy, I need to break. We have a guy that's been in solitary confinement for, I think it's more than 6 months, 7 months. I don't know his name. He's the shaman guy that was there on January 6th. You know, the guy with the tattoo and the horns and the whole thing. Do you know he's in solitary confinement? For what are his crimes? And I'm not arguing that he gets freed immediately and there weren't some wrongdoings that went down on January 6th. I'm in San Diego. Ashley Babbitt, woman that was gunned down, served the country. She was unarmed. We don't know anything. But the media pushed forward that propaganda, five die. And Donald Trump, even in the impeachment hearings, the left was talking about holding him accountable for all the deaths. And somehow that it was about him, that he wanted recently. Have you seen our General Mark Milley? Boy, what a piece of work this guy is. Talking about Trump was going to mount a coup. Oh, please. But here's the good news. First of all, we're followers of Christ. The Bible is true now, today, and forever. And then, with a spirit of freedom, with a spirit of truth, we can live our lives and stand against any lies from the evil one. And then you take your shots. When we come back, I'm going to play an audio of a woman, little district in Ohio, never heard of her before. She's running for Congress. We'll also take your calls. 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. This segment, I want to highlight a few moms. Recently, you may have known about We Spa and Christina Ramos and a biological man exposing himself and some of the reports of what's going on. She was part of a press conference and spoke out. There's another mom I want to make a mention of. Her name is Tatiana Ibrahim. She appeared in front of a school board in New York and challenged the board when it comes to the realities of critical race theory.
I think the Board of Education and those sitting on the panels are thieves. I think they're liars and have committed treason against our children. Stop indoctrinating our children. Stop teaching our children to hate the police. Stop teaching our children that if they don't agree with the LGBT community, that they're homophobic. You have no idea each child's life. You don't know what their family lifestyle consists of. You have children like mine who is Muslim and I'm Christian, and everyone would think they would never believe that of her, right? Because the way she looks, or according to Miss Cyrus, she's too pasty white.
Ma'am, we're not allowed to use names. If you have something you'd like to discuss about a specific person, you can call the superintendent or leave your info for her to call you tomorrow.
Why are we not allowed to discuss names? Why am I not allowed when they purposely themselves expose themselves on social media talking about calling for the death of a former president, or saying that any child that doesn't believe in Black Lives Matter should be canceled out. Is this what my tax dollars is paying for? You're teaching my children and other children that if they believe in God Almighty, they're part of a cult. These educators put their own names out there. We have Mr. Barry, who took it upon himself with Ms. Cyrus to create a curriculum.
That should be it.
Do you want the proof? I have the proof. You created a curriculum of Black Panther indoctrination.
Ma'am.
You used taxpayers' dollars.
Can I ask you one more time? I have no issue hearing what you have to say, but...
Why can we not let the public speak? Why can't we let the public know that you're teaching our children to go out and murder our police officers? Do you want the proof? I have the proof. Is that what scares you, the proof? That a parent actually standing up against all of you? Is that what scares you, to call out the names of these people? You work for me. You're emotionally abusing our children and mentally abusing them. You're demoralizing them by teaching them communist values. This is still America, ma'am.
I have no problem having a peaceful discussion. This is not a peaceful discussion.
No, that's your opinion. See, here we go again. This is peaceful. To me, this is peaceful.
Well,
I'm not burning, looting, and murdering. This is peaceful.
No, I did not accuse you of that.
This whole cancel culture, you're silencing the children. Where are their rights? They have no rights. Because if they don't believe in the indoctrination, the demonic, twisted, sneaky, vile acts and education, if you call it that, that you're teaching our children, they don't agree with that. They're either homophobic, they're part of a cult, they're racist. What's racist? Who defines racist? Why? Because do you know what race I am? You're judging and dividing. You're causing segregation, everything that we fought for, everything that I fought for years. So you have the right to stand here and tell me I'm not allowed to mention a name when the person, the Mr. Barry and Miss Cyrus themselves, you have ELA teachers giving out assignments on police murder to police are bad. You want the proof?
Okay.
Because we have it.
So,
what policy do you have that teachers are not allowed to go on social media and indoctrinate? They took an oath, a responsibility, and they're going against everything that they stand for.
You're making general assumptions.
No, I'm not making assumptions. I'm not. I know what I'm speaking about. See, I don't agree with you, so it's an assumption.
Well, I'm not going to engage in a back and forth with you about this. So if you would like to make an appointment, I would be happy to sit with the superintendent.
I don't want to. The superintendent, the assistant superintendent already sent an email and stated that they had no idea that these books were being put on in the students' hands. I have a problem when teachers are passing out flyers, recruiting children to go to the courthouse to protest Black Lives Matters, when you have people sitting with signs that says all cops are really? All cops are no, I think you people are, because the way you're acting and the way you're treating our children and our police officers and making them believe that it's okay to abuse them, I'll be if I'm going to sit here and let you do that. I will become your worst nightmare, because I'm going to stand here and keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. Everyone out there heard me. Whether they agree or they don't, they're going to start looking into it. And now you're exposed. That's all. It's going to end. This indoctrination and hatred towards our police officers, this systematic racism and cancel culture, it's going to end. You came to the wrong school district to do this, okay? Thank you.
Tatiana Ibrahim, one mother upset about critical race theory being taught to her children and others. And then there is a woman named Melissa O'Connor, who lives in San Diego. She spoke in front of a council the other day talking about mandatory mask wearing with children.
Unvaccinated children of a certain age, greater than 2 years old, should be wearing masks. No doubt about that. That's the way to protect them from getting infected, because if they do, they can then spread the infection to someone else.
Now, this is just pure craziness at this point. There's not actually a lot of debate in the science about the guidance you just heard. It's nuts, and it hurts kids. But nevertheless, New York's mayor, Bill de Blasio, has just announced that children in New York City can expect to be forced to wear masks in the fall. In California, many schools are expected to require masks as well. Some parents, seeing the harm this is doing to their children, the physical harm, not to mention the emotional harm, to their own kids, are finally fighting back. One of them is called Melissa O'Connor. She spoke at a board meeting in San Diego. We're happy to have her on the show tonight. Melissa O'Connor, thanks so much for coming on tonight. What did you say, and bless you for saying it, at the board meeting?
Well, I tried to keep my talking points brief because I've had over a year to think about how frustrated I am.
Yes,
and
I bet.
Now that the board, yes, the board is finally meeting in person, and there's been a great group of parents who, you know, we're just fed up with the government telling us what to do. And Tucker, if there's one thing I could leave anybody who's listening with, this one word, it's choice. And yes, informed consent. And that is lacking in America right now. So my children are put under my husband and my jurisdiction. They're not under Fauci's jurisdiction or Governor Newsom or even my school board. They're under my jurisdiction. And it's up to every parent to weigh the risks and benefits of anything going on in their kid's life, including wearing a facial covering, you know, vaccinations, anything, going to swim in the ocean with however many floaties they need. Like, I don't outsource that information or that responsibility to the government. That has been given to me as a responsibility. And so, to answer your question, this morning I just highlighted that enough is enough, and I don't consent to this. And no one asked me, Melissa, are you okay with this? No one asked me a year ago if I was okay with my kids' school being shut down and then open and then shut down again and then open and then shut down again, or not knowing what's going on with the mask mandates, business closures. I spoke on that. That's been heartbreaking to see that in our county, and it's arbitrary. It's not based on anything that is logical, and no one is talking about that. If you say this on social media, you get censored. If I post this on Instagram tonight, it's going to be tagged with, look up the COVID-19 vaccination information, and enough is enough. American parents are fed up, and my message to anyone listening right now is to speak on behalf of your kids. You know, I have friends and family who feel all over the map with this, and that's okay. I don't want to have a divisive message. The message is, I don't want to outsource the health of my children to our government.
Can you imagine? I don't want to outsource the health of my children to the government. I couldn't have been that long ago where somebody made that statement, like, what are you talking about? That's where we're at. We've given the government so much of our power. Now what do we do? Once you give the power to them, you think they're just going to give it up and go, okay, we got what we needed and we're moving on. We will see what the coming weeks and months hold. I don't want to be doom and gloom, but I'm not very optimistic. I'll just say that. 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. For those of you that called in and did not get on the air, obviously we've got four more days. We'll take more calls tomorrow. And for those of you that have emailed me, I just got to some of them. I want to read one email in particular, and then we'll kind of close. Frank, I discovered you at the beginning of the lockdown last March. Your words have been priceless. I am not a Christian. Actually raised Buddhist. But most of all, I'm hard-boiled American with hardwired Judeo-Christian values. Through your show, I would say I am a different man than I was 16 months ago. From everything you've discussed, politics, the virus, evil, they all validated that I was not crazy or alone. Thank you, brother. Bless you wherever you go. I hope to know that the good you'll do in the future. Please add me to your mailing list. That is listener Sam. Thank you, Sam. I really want to share one last thing and maybe close in prayer. There is a little bit of a temptation to make this all about me this week. As I said, as I began, this is not about me. This is about the time I've been on the air, but ultimately this is about Jesus Christ. And we will see what the next season holds. I'll talk about some other possibilities and opportunities that may be on the horizon. Am I done with radio? I don't know. But we will see what the Lord has in store. So please, if you are not on my mailing list, go to franksontag.com and sign up. And we will keep you up to date as to anything that's going on, anything that will transpire. And pray. In fact, I'll pray right now. Father God, thank you for another day by which we can look to you. Father, first and foremost, forgive me of any sins that have kept me from you, those that I'm aware of, those that I'm not aware of. As Pastor Wilkerson prayed a little while ago, Lord, I just want to pull out any roots that aren't from you. I pray for freedom for me and anybody listening to this program, only in Christ. Father, I pray by your divine mercy and power that whatever is to come on these airwaves, that it will be your ordination, if you will, and not necessarily man's. These are precious airwaves, and I thank you, Lord, for having management and those around me that have supported me all these years, and I pray more of your protection about whoever is to come from this point on. Father, you know I prayed on the air about 6 weeks ago. Something came out of my mouth I wasn't prepared to say. I'm not even sure it was from me. We had a caller call in about our late great brother, Frank Pastore. Some of you may have heard it that day. Father, I just give this to you. I said Frank Pastore was the starting pitcher. I'm the reliever, and the closer is coming soon. I have no idea what that meant at the time. But I pray whoever sits in this chair will be biblically sound and will have a warrior spirit to really speak back against culture, the ever-advancing darkness of secular culture. Father, we trust in you. Thank you for this wonderful listening family. I pray blessing over each and every one of them. And I pray that maybe our paths will cross in my new ministry and the new future that you have ordained, Lord. I trust in you. Please bless everyone listening. And if someone does not know you as warrior, does not know you as Lord or Savior, that maybe by the end of the week, they will come to honor you and embrace you and deny themselves and say they are a follower of Jesus Christ. Father, I send this to you. I pray that you will hear this and bless this message. And I pray it in the mighty name, the undeniable name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. KKLA family, we'll be back tomorrow. That's the plan for another program. If you want to send me an email, you can do that at franksontag@kkla.com. I have no guest scheduled this week. That may change, but as of now, it's you and me for 4 more days. And I appreciate you greatly. And I love each and every one of you. This is the Frank Sontag Show.